and welcome to episode 14 of Let's Talk with Scoggs. This week, I have the wonderful and delightful Miss Courtney Coles joining the show. She is a photographer here in Los Angeles. She is a delight. She is also someone who has collaborated with the first guest of our show ever, Miss Erica Lauren, with To the Front, the traveling photography show. And Courtney and I talk about her thesis that she's working on. She's in art school. We talk about how she has found herself through photography and how she's used it as a way to sort of communicate with people, and it's just a really wonderful conversation. She's so passionate about what she does, and this girl does a lot of stuff. She's incredibly talented and just real sweet. So I hope you enjoy episode 14 of Let's Talk with Scoggs featuring Miss Courtney Coles. Have you ever had a dog?
We have a dog, or my sister has an emotional support dog, and we all have an emotional support dog.
Yes.
And her name is Diamond, and she's massive pit, lab mix, and think she's a puppy. Oh. Not a puppy. She's five, I think.
But
it's like, baby girl, you're not a puppy, but I love you for thinking you can just jump.
So she can fly for free.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I've flown with her recently for the holidays. She's an emotional support dog. Tips for flying with a dog.
How do you do that?
One, if you get pre-check, it helps exponentially.
You could cut the line and all that fun stuff. Oh, yeah. Got it.
So I have pre-check now for 5 years. It's great. It doesn't take, it's, you know, there's a small fee, but you go down somewhere, they check out who you are, you get checked. Going through with her was so much easier. She was small enough to curl up in a cinnamon roll on my lap during the flight.
Love it.
So she was cool. She was a little scared.
Because it's just like, it's scary times for
scary
pups.
Scary times.
Yeah.
And then the other tip would be knowing where the pet rest areas are at either airport.
Okay.
Yeah. The LAX one, Terminal 5, best one. It's the size of this room.
That's so lovely.
It's got, it's outdoors. It's got a little water fountain. It's got poo bags, a little trash.
If I ever fly LAX, I'm going to like, I don't have a dog. I just want to pet the other dog.
You could go.
Pet the other dog.
Dude, you can go there. And she kind of like had the zoomies a little, so she got to run around a little bit before our flight and played with other dogs. Mm-hmm. It's the best one. I left my terminal to go to that terminal to use that rest area because it's the best one. So if you want to scope out pups at the LAX
always
airport.
Do.
Yeah, so she's my little buddy. And the West Hollywood Dog Park is also quite lovely if you want to scope out dogs.
So I always feel weird being, I don't have a dog, but I'm here to look at the dog.
I see people all the time do that.
Because they're so beautiful and lovely, but I don't have the lifestyle for my own puppy. So it's like, thanks, Britt, for having a dog because I am never home to really take care of one myself.
Watching them play is also very, like, it's just so pure.
Cathartic. It's like, oh, I'm not mad at the world anymore because you're carefree. I should be carefree.
Exactly. See?
We dogs. Don't deserve dogs, but we do.
Dogs. Yeah, she's the best. Well, thanks for coming by. How are you feeling today, Miss Courtney?
I feel good and jittery and good.
You're good? Jittery? Okay. This is going to be
all
fun.
The caffeine, so it's like, yes.
Well, it's just the middle of the day.
Is it?
Getting things rolling.
I never know anymore. I'm like, what time is it?
How has your new year been so far? How's 2019 treating you?
It's been treating me very well. Surprisingly not overwhelmed, which is so unlike Courtney, but give it a week, I'll be back. Like, I can't breathe.
Well, you're always working on, from what I can see on the internet, you're working on like 500 things at a time.
It's great. It's lovely. Don't know how I do it.
What is currently going on, and take me through them, maybe like slow, because there's always a lot. So I know To the Front is doing some more stuff.
Yes.
Always.
We're always
forever
cooking
always.
Up something.
Always.
We have a show next Saturday, or not really a real show, it's like a pop-up at AJJ's Desert Trash Festival next Saturday.
And so sick.
I think we're leaving Friday, ? But that's our next, like, actually set in the stone thing. We have a few other cities we want to tackle on.
It's going to go all over the world eventually.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Y'all are going to take it to Mars at some point.
Like, someone please take us to Mars. Like, pay for all of us. We want to go. We want to see the Martians and little Rover, because we love you, Rover. Happy birthday.
And that isn't putting those shows together is not, like, you guys make it look easy, but because Erica is a dear, 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 dear friend, I know how much work you guys put into it. So just like, congratulations on it.
Thank you.
Being what it is now and then what it will become, because it's so precious.
It's so precious and lovely. And just it'll be 2 years tomorrow that we've been doing this.
Wow.
And four little punks were like, let's just put our photographs on the wall and like invite our friends. And 2 years later, here we are.
It's crazy. I love it so much. I love when anyone has an idea that they have any sort of like conviction in and they see it through, and then having it be like friends doing stuff together. It's like when you see a band and you're like, oh, you guys are all like legit friends and you're like making music together. That seems awesome.
And they're all like, we don't know how we got here. We were just playing music in our mom's basement. Now we're like massing our artists. Totally, that's kind of how it feels like. So we just really wanted to put our photos in the real world.
I love it. Make your own thing.
Do your own thing.
Do your own thing.
Do your own thing.
Okay, so what else do you have going on?
I'm in grad school, and I finish in May.
Ooh!
I'm so scared. So I'm working on my thesis right now, and I'm behind production, which just means I'm, like, on time for production, but I'm a big planner who just spent all winter break not touching anything until last night. Yeah. So I'm scanning and printing, or about to start printing, and need to start framing and making meetings and writing a statement.
So what is your thesis? I didn't have to do, I just got my undergrad. I didn't have to do any big stuff. I don't know how I graduated early too. I don't know how this happened.
It's crazy. You look back, how did I even, was I even alive?
Right?
Yeah, my undergrad was crazy because we had a thesis paper and like thesis project, and their reasoning behind it was some of you guys won't go to grad school. So this is to kind of prep you for what that world is like. And we were like, okay, whatever. And so after that happened, I was like, I'm not doing grad school. This was terrible. And fast forward 2.5 years, I'm like,
here she is.
I'll just go to grad school, maybe. I don't know. But my thesis is a mixture of things, but the actual like foundation is it's home. And for like the last 8 or so years, I've been like trying to figure out like what home means and what it is. And I've always kind of like settled on like, it's not just a place, it's people and emotions and sense and memories and all that. And this past, I guess past year or summer, I fully realized that my actual home was more so of like the home within myself. That sounds so cheesy.
No,
home within myself.
It doesn't sound cheesy.
And so I like found out, or not found out, I kind of realized that I'm not straight, I'm actually gay. And so like I was like looking for other queer people within my family and friends. See, can you see me like I see me? Like find that mirror. And this summer I realized, oh wait, I'm actually looking for like the answers I'm looking for are actually questions I've been avoiding for like my entire life. And so it's like one massive but kind of condensed coming out story, but like centered around like my family and like my experience and all
that.
I want to cry too, because it's like it's so scary. And like I knew that I had to come out to my parents fully, because I did when I was 13, but like fully mean it. And it was one of those things where you don't want to, because you want it to be a very normal experience of, hey, here's someone I'm really stoked on. Not like, hey guys, I'm not straight. And so it was one of those things where the universe beat me to the punch. And my mom, my favorite story, in the moment it sucked, but like right now it's hilarious. My mom made a Twitter account, and I watched it happen like in real time, getting notifications of your contact Jewel Coles joined Twitter. Your contact Jewel Coles is following you. And like less than a second later, she texts me saying, why does your bio on Twitter say gay film photographer? And I was like, and so I responded with a meme, and she was like, I don't get it. And I'm like, it means I'm gay, mom. And then like, it was that weird, like, but we're good now. But in that moment, I was just like, I wanted to tell you in a classy way. So you saw my photographs, you weren't like, what is this? So now it's like, it's okay.
And how, like, I'm trying to think of the right way to ask this question.
There's no wrong way.
Well, like, what? Because that's, I mean, I guess, like, any information about myself that anyone finds out besides me telling them, I get really, like, so I can't even imagine, like, that. Because even if there was something that you were realizing and, like, you were going through this whole process, part of that factoring in probably was, to your point, like, okay, I'm going to have this conversation. Yeah. And then that was sort of, like, surprise.
And I was like, I was getting dinner with my friend. Like, she made me dinner, and I'm on her couch, and her roommate's sitting like next to us, whatever. And I'm like chilling out, watching Marie Antoinette, I think. And then I'm like yelling at my phone. I'm like, what do I do, Devin? Oh, and she's like, this is your time to like, I'm like, I kind of just want to die. Like, I don't know what to do. And so it was that moment. I'm like, okay, wait, I can either go with grace or be snarky. And I of course, I'm with a meme, because who doesn't go with memes? She's like a boomer and doesn't get what any of that means. But it was one of those things where I wanted to tell her before the end of the semester. So the fact that she beat me to the punch was like, okay.
Yeah.
Got to lean into like life throwing me curveballs and stuff, right. but it was there for the world to see. I just didn't expect my mom, who right. never uses the internet, to like find it. Like,
yeah.
Come
my,
on, mom.
My mom has the internet and she's always like commenting on my Instagram. And like,
I love it.
It's okay.
It's like, I'm not ashamed of anything. It's just, it's there to be there, but it's just so funny because she never checks her Instagram or her Facebook, but she made another
yeah.
profile. It's like, Jewel, what are you doing?
Was she trying to be sneaky about it?
Or? I think she was. I think she was trying to, I think she probably, because moms know everything. So she probably figured out that.
Yeah.
What's Courtney doing? Because my sister, I came out to her and she said, I kind of figured you were gay because you never bring anybody home. And like, you never really talk about dudes. I mean, you do, but you don't.
Right.
And it's like, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But so I think mom kind of like, something's not right here. Let me just kind of like beat her to the punch. And like, but we don't talk about things in our family. So it's hilarious how she.
Yeah, she found out.
Wanted to like talk. It's like, oh.
Moms always know.
Moms know everything.
But that's good that you were able to use art to sort of like.
Find that space.
And that's what makes, I mean, I romanticize everything anyway.
Oh, same.
But it's cool that it was like through school, I guess, is interesting and that whole journey. And so when, so you have your thesis, you have to like present it.
Yeah. So we, everyone at CalArts, whether you're undergrad or grad, you have two solo shows.
Mm.
One's your mid-res and the other is your thesis solo show or whatever you want your thesis to be. And for me, I'm doing like a gallery route. So it's just photographs on the wall, maybe an installation thing, but just like photographs.
So cool.
And like our little galleries at school, and each gallery has its perks and not perks. So
yeah.
I'm working with double doors in the middle of the gallery. So it's weird. It's like not be able to put things on the door. So I'm like, how can I disguise these doors? So it's not dividing the space, but cross that bridge when we get there.
I'm certain that you will sort it out. I'm very certain.
I'm pretty sure I will.
When did you start photography for fun, and then when did you start like taking it more serious?
For fun, probably 6 or 7.
I would like when you were little bub,
because my parents used to always document us just on field trips or not field trips on family trips and yeah. birthdays and stuff, and I took it upon myself to take disposable cameras to field trips and last days of school, and someone needs to document this, so yeah. I did it myself. I would take my mom's Polaroid and take photos of useless things, and she would get upset because they're expensive, but I didn't care because I'm a kid.
You're like, I have an eye for this.
Like, just you don't even get it. Let me document our
chickens.
This mug
looks awesome. The lighting is killer.
You're going to thank me in like 10 years, promise. And then for realsies, I guess I can start maybe, I want to say probably college, because my parents wanted, or they, after high school, they told me that, you know, they weren't going to pay for anything. That if I'm doing photography, my own money.
Yep.
If I'm going to live at home, it's either I'm in school or I'm working. So I got a job and went to school. I'm going to do both.
Double time.
Here we go. And so I enrolled in classes at Pierce College. And I was going to school originally just for journalism with photo as like my major or my minor kind of thing. And I was the only person in my class using a film camera because I guess they got rid of the darkroom the previous semester. So I misread the like course syllabus. So I bought my first camera with my own money.
And it was film?
It was film. It was a 35 millimeter. And I get to class and my teacher's talking about, you know, the whole photo history and stuff. And it mentions digital. I'm like, oh, it's a digital. So I spent the entire semester, like winter session, kind of like learn the ropes on like film, and he kind of pulled me to the side saying, since you're one of the only few students using film, like everything in the fridge in the back is yours. And so I had a whole fridge of film.
Wait, a fridge?
Like a refrigerator, yeah, full of
you keep film in refrigerators?
To keep it kind of like not foggy or kind of.
Does everybody
like
know that? Should I be keeping my film in the refrigerator?
I definitely don't sometimes, but yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, you keep your film in the fridge to kind of keep it from like being foggy or just like adds a little more life expectancy to it. But yeah. I asked, can I just pay for this? He's like, well, it's expired. I can't take money from you. So
yeah,
have at it. So my first couple of years of photography, I was doing that for free because like I wasn't paying for anything because the film was there. But I consider that the first time I was like, I'm serious about this because I went out of my way to go to school and like look at Flickr threads to like kind of learn how to do concert photography, like how do you approach publicists when you don't have your own publications, like things like that, and like bands on MySpace and being like, I know I'm 19 and you're a 21 plus show, but can I go? Like, I don't drink. It's, I just want to photograph your band.
Right.
So, like, I guess 18 will be, like, when I actually was like, no, I'm serious about this.
Right.
But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm always interested when people kind of, like, when something goes from being a hobby to, I'm actually, like, really good at this, and I mm-hmm. think if I pour myself into it, I could...
It becomes an actual, yeah.
This could be what I get to do forever. So, that's amazing. So your first camera was that film camera?
So the one I bought myself, yes. My first camera, aside from Polaroids and disposables, was a small little like point and shoot my parents bought uh-huh. in like 2003 for Christmas.
Like the Sony, like...
It was like a weird off-brand thing. Like uh-huh. I forgot what it was, but it was something that I saw in an astronomy magazine because I also loved astronomy as a kid.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, what do you like in here? So I'm looking at telescopes. I'm like, oh, wait, I kind of want a camera. So I was like, just pointing yeah. at this, and I didn't think anything of it. And then Christmas comes around, and it's like I get all my little gifts, and then there's a camera, and I was like, just like out of like lost my mind. And I went to school, you know, after winter break, and was first and only person in my class that had a camera. So I'm like documenting all of us,
everything.
And it became like this thing where like Cordy has a camera. So 14 was just like it, but the first camera I bought myself was
cute.
That Canon.
Oh, have you done any astronomy photography? Like, have you looked into that at all?
I have a friend who does it. We don't talk anymore, but whenever you post on Instagram, I see it. But I just never, after I got that camera, I was like, no more astronomy for me. I'm just going to look at it from afar. But
yeah. Well, if you want to see a moon, she's right there.
A moon. Oh, babe. Nap time.
The crazy blood wolf moon the other night.
I missed it.
Whoa, really?
I was like, because I went out, I was at a friend's show, and one of her friends, you know, left to go look at it. And so you get to see the moon. It looks so great.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, be right back. And I went outside and I couldn't see it. And we're in Hollywood. So I think like the pollution covered it or something. But I was like walking up and down Santa Monica.
It was photographed up the wazoo.
Yeah, everyone did it. Thank you, Instagram.
You can
love
see
it.
So in terms of like photography, what are your, like, what's your dream? What do you want to do with all
photography,
the,
all the things,
all
I'm
the
learning.
Stuff that you've acquired, and all the skills, and all the stuff you've honed. Like, what do you? What's like, fish your wish? Like, what do you? Like National
things.
Geographic's,
oh.
Vogue, just put out books.
That one.
Put out books, great.
Yeah, I want to. I have like so many like actual like I want to do this, but I guess the big one is to find an artist or multiple artists, whatever, and document them, like follow them around or whatever, and make books with them, like bring it back from the internet to like back when we were kids and we spent yeah. all of our money on like CDs and like booklets and like things like that, because I think that's much more intimate and more intentional than just like making content for the internet that you forget about after
right
two scrolls. That's one goal. Another goal is to, because, you know, that's why I have my MFA now.
Yeah.
I want to hold workshops or teach classes to underprivileged students who didn't have the access that I had as a kid.
You would be an amazing teacher.
I'm, like, afraid of it because it's, like, I know I'd be one of those lenient teachers, but kind of strict when it comes to kind of, like, grading and stuff. Because school, to me, it's, like, meh. But it's, like, I learned best from teachers who are very, like, kind of soft but very stern in their softness.
Yeah.
And I think I picked up on that kind of way of, you know, being, because I learned more from those who are like, I really did not like school. It's like, oh wait, me too.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. So that's one of our goals.
I think you're just so warm.
Thank you.
Like as a person, and you're so passionate about the stuff that you love, that like you teaching me anything, I'd be like, yeah,
that makes sense.
Let's
yes.
Let's do it. Let's do that thing. Let's learn it. So yeah. I think that's awesome. Teaching would be fun for me, maybe like kindergarten, like little
babies.
Little babies, like alphabet,
oh,
do some colors.
That's so important because I think few people want to teach children. I don't have the personality for that because I'm too, you have to be like potty trained.
They
and
can't
like,
see you, but you just did a really cool little dance, like wiggling thing.
I wiggled a lot.
It was adorable.
Thank you. But yeah, so like high school, college-ish, but definitely not the whole like private school where everyone, no. I want the ones who don't have the access to materials because if someone didn't pull me aside and say, hey, you can do this, I definitely probably would not be here.
Right.
At all. So it's more like giving it back to those who don't have the resources.
Right. Do you have like a mentor sort of relationship with anyone?
I have multiple, which is hilarious and great and lovely. we have one at school. Everyone gets paired off with a mentor when they enroll and stuff. And
that's awesome.
I like asked my mentor before the break, I asked him, hey, Ashley, how did you choose me? Like, yeah. How do you guys choose your mentees and stuff? Like, is it like a raffle kind of thing? And I'm just so nosy. And
I would want to know.
And so, because I heard that there is multiple ways they went about doing it. And he told me that he, because we had met prior to me actually being, I think, enrolled in or accepted.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I really liked what you have to say about your family and how you photograph your family and all things like that. Mm-hmm. And I love the politics of all of that. And I just, you know, really wanted to help you through with that. Aww. And I was like, oh, Ash,
that's so emotions sweet.
And so that's one mentor. There's another person named Paul Sapoya who is, or he what is was both is my thesis kind of like mentor. He's helped me shape my thesis.
Yeah.
And he is just phenomenal and great, and the last 2 years of working under him has been so humbling and just lovely that, like, oh my gosh, you get it without me having to explain it. And he's the first person in a long time to ask me why photography. And it's like, because it's what I do. And I realized he was asking why this and not other things. So it's like that one thing of like, you're pushing me to be a better me, which I don't like, but thank you. Because like, I'm so stubborn and I don't want to do anything. Him. And then there's Ellen Burrell, who's also on staff at CalArts and a loving soul, just like, aww, mom with her mom, kind of like she's filling the gaps for me. I'm like, my mom's doing this and I don't get it. She's like, well, your mom's a boomer, about the same age. So it makes sense why she's responding this way. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
you're right. Yeah. I'm so in my head, we're like, why is she doing this to me? It's like, no, she means well. And so pretty much the staff of at CalArts is just, they're all nice mentors and just helping hone all that. In music, it's been a distant mentor because, you know, I don't know these people, but I really do love Lauren Dukoff and how she, I'm like in the mic, it's going my throat, how she started off photographing her friends and how that's just been her footing to things. Yeah. And now she's doing things for Vogue and all the other bigger things. And I met her once 10 years ago, actually. And I remember sending her a message on MySpace just asking how did you become you without really realizing that's not how you approach people. And
I'm sure she was flattered.
She was, I think she definitely was, because she kind of just went down and saying, like, just photograph your friends anywhere, photograph flowers, whatever you want, just keep doing it, do it daily, whatever. Right. And I thought she would have forgotten me because, you know, it's Lauren Dukoff, she's going to forget everybody. But at her book signing, she recognized me and, like, it was a hug and all that fun stuff was involved. And I was just like, wow, you're so intentional and you really, truly, okay, that's cool. And so I kind of carried her warmness when people approach me for things, because it's like, to me, I don't think I'm like that great, but when kids do send me like, are they going to cry? I'm like, don't cry.
I'm getting, it's really sweet. I like hearing when people are like, a community is actually nice and
warm,
fostering, and like,
because she didn't have to respond at all, because she definitely was, and I was like using film at the time too. I was like, I'm using film and like, I want to do digital, but I really like film. And so it's just that thing of how she very early on kind of like mentored or, you know, fostered that. And then Lisa Johnson was one of the first photographers who told me, hey, keep shooting film. And I was like, are you sure? No, keep doing it, because like what you're doing, what being museums and what I'm doing, like, it's digital, like it's going to be obsolete in so many blah blahs. And I was like, okay, you're also, do you know who you are? Like, you're famous. So like people like that, it's just like very warm souls who remind me that, hey, it's not all bad. And hey, you can also do that if anyone approaches you. Like if you're having a bad day, just take a breath and go, remember when you were a kid and you're asking very mundane questions. But that was also when the internet wasn't as vast as it is, but I'm so pretty patient and whatever.
I love that.
Ask me anything.
I love that. You gotta pay it forward.
Gotta do it.
So we're gonna take a break and then we're gonna play some games.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
A little moon baby. This is party.
Back to the party. Okay, so this segment is called Overshare.
My entire life is oversharing.
Exactly. where is, oh, sorry. I need to get, grab this bowl over here. So this bowl, this is the most organized segment of the show. The rest is pretty loose. So the point is basically that this bowl is filled with conversation starters, And you're going to pull out three, and we have to at least discuss one.
Okay.
And we just overshare. So, like, we just nerd out on the question, and just we both have to do it. So
sick.
You're not alone. I might have you redraw if you draw something we've done a lot. I need to come up with more and refresh the bowl. But yeah, she's pulling them out. She's got three.
Three.
Let's see what you got. And then you can pick where we start.
Oh, so I read all three of them?
Yeah, take a look.
The first one is, how do you deal with conflict? Mm-hmm. And then the second one is pet peeves.
Okay.
I love these. And the last one is, what are you looking forward to this week?
Yes. So where would you like to begin?
We can start with a good one.
Yeah.
What am I looking forward to this week?
What are you looking forward to this week, Courtney?
So today's Thursday, yes.
Yes.
So every Thursday at CalArts is gallery night. And that means every student has like their solo shows, either mid-res or thesis up. And I've been MIA all week because it's just like work and stuff. So I'm excited to see my peers work. And it's always a fun little, oh my God, you were working on this all semester.
Yeah.
Congratulations kind of thing.
That's cool.
So that's one thing. Another thing is on Saturday, a friend of mine is putting on a play with her theater partner. And it's, I think it's a collection of queer stories from around the world, and they're just kind of acting them out. So I'm very excited to see that little ditty on Saturday.
Awesome.
And Sunday, I have friends who are all playing a massive show at the Hi-Hat. So
woo!
All of this is to lead up to the beginning of the semester on Monday when I'm back in hiding for four months.
Yeah.
So I'm partying it up and then hiding.
Perfect.
Yes.
That sounds fun. Where is the Hi-Hat?
In Highland Park.
Highland Park.
It's on, is it York?
I'm trying to think if I've ever been there. Is it near? Oh, that's where the other Big Bud store is. Okay.
It's near Donut Friend and...
I have been there.
Yes.
Okay, it's Donut Friend helps.
Oh, yeah. I like love that venue so much. It's a nice little secret spot in LA.
Yeah.
I'm always down to go to IHA for any reason whatsoever.
Love it.
Love that.
Have a fun week ahead.
Fun week.
I don't know. Fun week ahead. I'm going to New Orleans.
Ooh.
Next weekend. So I guess, I mean, that's, I have to pack. I'm looking forward to packing for
Yay.
New Orleans. I've never been. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I think as a kid, but we were like driving through because we were driving to Georgia.
Got it.
But
I just want to eat beignets.
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
That's all I want to do.
Eat all the food.
What else over there sparks some feelings?
Pet peeves.
Do you have any pet peeves?
I think my pet peeves are, I have a big thing of people who don't respect other people's time.
Yeah.
I know it's LA and we're all like late to things. That's neither here nor there. That's totally fine. My thing is mainly not texting the person, hey, I'm caught in traffic, or hey, something came up, or they wait until the last minute and say, hey, I can't meet you for dinner or whatever. It's like you definitely knew an hour ago
that you couldn't come.
That you couldn't come.
Yeah.
Because I'm totally okay with the whole waking up at 7 a.m. going, oh, I don't feel too good. Let me text whoever I'm supposed to meet up later. Hey, Sniffles. Might not feel good, let you know around 3 or 4.
Right.
That's totally fine. But don't wait till like 7:30. Like, oh, see you at 8. No, actually, I'm in bed with like the flu. It's like you do all day. You're sick.
Yeah. I get up over that one. That's a pet peeve. I think my biggest one that I've realized is people, when you're one-on-one with someone and they're just on their phone the whole time, it's one thing if they're like, oh, I saw this funny article or this meme and they need to show you the thing. But when you're just like hanging out with someone and they're just on their phone, it just like bothers me. And I know that it's like a muscle memory thing now for us to be fidgeting with our phones.
And I go like, oh, wait, put that down. Like, I'm here, but.
It just makes me feel like, is this a bad time for you?
Because I can definitely come back later if you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love when friends let me know, hey, I'm doing a work thing. Sorry. That's fine.
Yeah,
but don't
totally.
Do the whole like, sorry. I'm like, oh my.
Just on my phone the whole time.
Like, but you're with me. And like, you can be on Instagram later. And
exactly.
It'll always be there. Yeah. I might not. So come. Be with me.
Do you have any pet peeves? You know, I see the photographers. I see you guys out there. You know, you get your three songs usually. Any like photography
pet peeves?
Like maybe just like like what goes on in there that you're like, can you stop doing that?
I think the one thing that I don't like the most, it's definitely security doing more things than like other photographers, because there have been times where photographers do like kind of like shove me out the way or like do the whole like And you know it's definitely intentional because sometimes you're like, oh crap, I'm so sorry I stepped on you. You do the whole like curtsy thing. But sometimes I've like picked up on, oh wait, you're actually being not cool. That's not cool.
Don't be aggressive.
But it's mainly security who, if I have like all access or if I'm with the band, I'm supposed to be there, you know, past whatever, and they kind of like jerk on me. I don't like that because if anyone touches me, I get instantly like, don't. And so it's usually that whole like security just like, or they'll get in the way on purpose. And like, I know they're doing it because there's always a whole like you tap somewhere, you point, but sometimes they'll like stand in
there's
your
etiquette.
Shot. And it's like, sir,
there's etiquette for you.
I understand there's like flying people. It's not my first rodeo. Thank you. But also don't like shove me or stand in my shot or like do things that kind of like, you know, I'm working to kind of thing. So that's a big pet peeve that I just have to
take a deep breath.
Don't do it because they're probably having a bad day, but also you're in the way.
But also don't
touch me because I might fight you. So it's like a lot of like, okay, court, don't do it.
How many shows do you think you've photographed at this point?
Oh my goodness.
Your body language again, just is something really like,
I don't do much anymore these days, if that helps. Oh my gosh.
Over 100?
Definitely over 100 probably.
So you've edited like a million photos?
A bazillion of them. It's because in my earlier years, I was all about just live concerts and doing that. And then somewhere along the line, I was more into portraits and realized, oh wait, I'm doing this one part of music. I really like the other boring side of it all. The boring side.
The boring side, yeah. Give those air quotes because it's
like,
not boring.
It's not boring at all. The like backstage stuff because I grew up loving seeing those like real photos.
Yeah.
And so I figured out a way to kind of, if I do this, can I do this? And here's my examples of, you know, what I've done.
Right.
So these days I only do live stuff for friends or if I really, really love the band, I don't care about any other rules or if there's like a portrait session included in the package. But a lot, over 100 definitely in the last 10 years.
Wow. That's a lot.
A lot of shows.
I just think about the amount of photos that everybody takes at these shows and then you got to go home and edit them and kind of weed through. And I'm like, that process, I think most art, we only see the end result. Like I mean like the audience, whatever you've done. So even for your thesis, like I could go through and be astounded by what you put together, but the actual time it takes to curate that stuff, I don't know if everybody's like really aware of what, because especially photographers, and I'm not speaking on anyone's behalf. It's just like what I've noticed is that sometimes your work gets ripped off a lot.
It's a thing and you see it and you do the whole like you bite your tongue because you don't want to like step on toes or start any beef or whatever. Also because I'm too old to care, but it's just that thing of you seeing someone hone on their craft and to watch it get ripped off by someone else.
Right.
It's like, what do you do? You just kind of...
Or you guys, I've kind of noticed just through like conversations, again speaking on my own experience, that you, it's kind of hard to put a like how much your service is worth to a company or a brand, you know, money, whatever, but if they're, even if they're gonna buy one photo, every photo you took before that, every photo you edited before that, every piece of equipment you ever brought, ever bought, got you to them wanting this one photo. And it's just like, well, it's just one photo. It's like, yeah, but all the work that went in before that is how you got this photo that you want. Yeah. You have to kind of think.
It's like why you want it. Also, we're our own employees.
Right.
And managers and like HR.
Credit them.
All
put
those
their
things.
Names on their things. Like
that's the least you can ever do is give someone like actual
credit
for what they've done. And so I definitely applaud artists who are like, we're going to tag you and pay you. It's like, what? Not just tag me? Holy moly.
I mean, it's not really a pet peeve I can own because I don't experience it, but...
Thanks for feeling it for us.
I feel it for you guys because...
Thank you.
I mean, we live in LA. There's billboards everywhere with all these photos.
Yep.
Obviously, like, they're not, you know, that's like a different element of it, but just the culture of, oh, it's just a photo. We're just going to take it or...
Like there's so much more to it. It's like you may think it's just a photo, but it's so much more than that.
It's such a skill.
It's definitely a skill. That's the, I guess that is a pet peeve of mine. I never even realized that until just
sorry
now. No, you're good. Because it's so like you can't, I mean, people really shouldn't say like, who is this a photographer? But that's something that I've definitely caught myself going like, wait, I've spent years like both before school and in school to kind of like hone in on the stains where I can confidently say, no, I'm a photographer, not exactly. Like my parents bought me a camera and then I instantly became, it took years after that camera, you know, gift to go, wait, no, this is actually who I am. So right. A big pet peeve of mine is just people, they get their first camera and they go out there and they're like, I'm a photographer, I charge this. It's like, ooh, proud of you for being so bold, but holy moly, there's so much more to it than pointing and clicking and throwing into Lightroom and throwing on a, you know, filter, and there's so much more to it. But
how do you feel about filters? Like the Instagram made it really easy for anyone to make their photo look sort of like edited.
I'm pro filters if you know what they're doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because at first I was so anti that because I know what it was doing, but that was also 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I definitely do have presets I use for certain things that I've like kind of modified and have them fit for certain whatever I'm using, digital or anything.
Yeah.
But I've definitely kind of trained myself to figure out what each thing is doing. So if I need to, I can go back and make my own.
Right.
Whatever. And of course, that's a privileged thing of I went to school and I did my own reading before I went to school and all that, because I'm half self-taught, half not self-taught. So it's that
You're a little
dual
bit.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm totally pro if you know what you're doing. But definitely don't rely on the filters or the presets to like fix an image, because sometimes it's just you can't take a bad photo and put a nice filter on it and be like, here we go. It's like, that's a look. Doesn't mean it's a good look.
Do you have like a favorite photo that you've taken? Like if I asked you like, what's your favorite photo up until now that you have, do you have one?
I have a couple. I have a photo of my friend Alex from many moons ago. of him like on his bed. That's one of my favorite photos. I have a photo of my mom. Is it me, my mom? Well, a photograph just of my mom that I love. It's her walking down the stairs in my uncle's house 6 years ago or 8 years ago. I don't know math. Math is hard.
Whatever.
Back in 2012. And then I think, like, music-wise, I have the one that sticks out the most is probably, oh, my gosh, it's, like, sipping for me.
It's okay. I get brain farts all the time.
My entire life is a big brain fart.
I'm assuming it's stuff you've probably shown into the front.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I definitely do love, because I find myself picking out the same photos for each gig, and I know it's, like, updated portfolios. No, but I love this photo.
Yeah.
Probably over the regrets, actually, backstage before, backstage
at
Amoeba, because earlier in the day, they were all freaking out because no one was there yet. It was like, I think three or so, and there was like no one in the store yet, and they're just like, no one's here. And I'm like, guys, it's totally okay. And then around 6 o'clock-ish or whatever, they peered out and they saw that there was like a lot of people there for them. And they're like, holy crap. It's like, they're here for you.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations. So there's that black and white photo of them just kind of like talking backstage.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
Holy moly. So that's definitely one of my favorites.
Love it. Yeah. Well, that's overshare.
Yay.
We overshared a lot. You can toss those back with their friends. Thank you for oversharing.
Of course. Thanks for having me overshare.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. So the next one is my favorite. So I'm going to give you a thing and then you describe what your favorite version of that thing would be.
Okay.
Let's do, or it's called my perfect, sorry. What's your perfect weather?
Perfect weather is 68 degrees.
Very specific.
68 degrees, maybe 65. Overcast.
She likes it cold.
I love it cold. Chilly enough for like a scarf and a, leather jacket. But not too cold where I'm like, I'm freezing.
Right.
Where I'm not sweating too much. definitely pretty gray, but not raining.
Uh-huh.
So like the calm before the storm is my perfect weather.
Overcast.
Overcast.
That's pretty good photos too, overcast.
Oh, yes. It's like one big softbox. It's lovely. Everyone looks flattering in overcast weather.
What about do you like the Southern California weather, or is there like, would you want to move to Seattle or Portland or New York?
I actually lived in Portland for 3 years.
You did?
I did, yes. In my early 20s, very, very bold Courtney was like, I'm going to move to Portland. My parents were like, because at the time I was planning on moving to San Francisco for school and everything, like CalArts and then San Francisco, but I skipped all that. Was like, no, I'm going to Portland.
Yeah.
And like, it rains. And I was like, I love the rain.
Yeah.
And so at 20 years old, I packed it up, moved to Portland for my undergrad. Loved it, but also it's very dark there. And you like don't realize how dark it is until you're like realizing, or you see that, oh, it's been 4 months since the sun has peered out from over the clouds.
Yeah.
But I do love both Portland's weather and SoCal's like overcast, because they're both two different beasts, but they're both equally as beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've never been to Portland.
It's lovely. It's changing rapidly, so it's like weird to like kind of like keep vouching for it, but there's still pockets where it's like, okay, this is the Portland I love and the reason why I moved here, but the landscape's changing. It's kind of heartbreaking, but the locals are definitely doing their best to kind of like hone in and like, hey guys, let's fight the big developers and keep this for us.
All right, I gotta check out Portland.
Do it.
Your perfect meal.
Perfect meal. Anything pasta related.
Ooh.
I love pasta. Pasta girl.
I love like pappardelle noodles.
Ooh.
I used to like them, but I just sort of really fell in love with them. They're like those flat, like sort of thick noodle. Oh, I just love noodles.
I just love noodles, yeah.
Where do you get pasta in LA? What's your favorite?
I haven't ventured out, actually. It's more like I make it myself. Well, I don't make the pasta myself.
I want to
learn how to make my own like pasta from scratch and then like feed myself with it. But I just buy boxes of pasta.
Yeah.
Have
you ever had gnocchi? It's like those like dumpling
pastas,
the potato ones.
So good.
They're not actually that hard to make.
What?
It's basically just potato and flour. And when you cook them, it's really fun because it's a little tedious. So you want to have like a playlist on or have a friend over when you do this, because you have to roll them out so they become those little like little
ball
clouds.
Things.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you roll them on the back of a fork. It's really like satisfying. And when you cook them, it's just like a boiling pot of water and you plop them in and then they sort of start to rise to the top and that's when they're done. It's so worth it to make them on your own. And it's potato, salt, and flour basically.
That's nothing. That's so easy.
So easy. And they're like, they get like kind of that chewy, soft pillow. Oh, I want gnocchi.
How satisfying.
Now. Yeah. Oh. You can make gnocchi from
scratch. Go home and be like, hey guys, dinner's on me.
What kind of sauce do we put on this pasta?
I use either like the fettuccine Alfredo, garlicky sauce, or just any kind of red sauce.
Yeah. I love it.
Depends on my mood.
Perfect. That sounds like a great meal. I'm down with that.
College taught me how to make pasta.
What is your perfect Saturday morning?
Perfect Saturday morning. Just lazing around. Because I wake up no matter what time I go to bed. Wake up around 8 o'clock. It's...
Oh, you're cursed.
A blessing and a curse. I love it. But if you get home at 7, you're like, oh, wow, it's 8 o'clock. Cool. That was a good nap. But perfect Saturday morning is... this is a very slow ease into the day. Grab brunch with friends. Do some errands, come back home around like 3-4-ish if we don't, make it all day.
Yeah.
Bender.
I like a slow, easy Saturday morning too.
Because it reminds me of being a kid when you like wake up and you're like, oh, it's Saturday, cartoons, and you just kind of like eat cereal in your pajamas.
No, it's the best. Simple things. Saturday mornings as a child, it feels like the possibilities are endless.
You have the full day to do nothing because, Sunday is like the day before school again.
Yeah.
So you're like, cartoons and sugar.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do laundry. Who knows?
Who knows? I love a good Saturday morning. And the last one. How about like your perfect vacation?
Perfect vacation. Ooh. I have multiples.
Yeah, that's okay. Wrap them up. Let's do it.
So since I love the Northwest so much, that's definitely a place I go to kind of gather myself and regroup.
Yep.
Just went back for New Year's Eve, which was just like a nice reset.
Right.
I love the ocean, so anything near the beach is my perfect kind of thing. I really want to go to Italy and like Santorini, and like I know for a fact they're like a bazillion dollars, but one day I'll like treat myself to like an Italian little...
You'll get some pasta.
Some real pasta.
Some real stuff that someone's grandmother passed down a recipe from generations, and it's going to be
so great.
Weak in the knees.
Live there forever. But like, sorry, guys, bought a one-way ticket to Italy.
Yeah.
Go learn Italian here.
Hey, why not? You could photograph the hell out of Italy. There is...
so much to do. Light's beautiful because of course I know what the light looks like.
Yeah.
The light's just beautiful out there in the Mediterranean. It's just so beautiful. It's just all of it. It's just mwah.
I'm for it.
Thank you.
I think you should get to Italy and have your perfect vacation. So the last segment of every show is advice.
Advice.
So this is called asking for a friend. So this advice, it's not specifically for you, just people send in advice and I just kind of pull them out at random.
Nice.
So this one is about someone needing advice about how to tell your friends when they've hurt your feelings.
Ooh, that's
like
hard.
How do you approach, how do you bring it up? Like, it wasn't something that someone did to be malicious. It's just sort of like
kind of like a little jab, and you're like, oh, this feels weird.
I didn't like that. Or maybe someone didn't realize. Like, how do you, like, what would be your advice to kind of resolve that?
Definitely talk it out. I'm very bad at this, talking it out.
It's I kind of easy to give advice. It's hard to take.
I like sit in it and I'll like write about it to myself and it'll kind of like let it do its thing. But yeah. Recently I have a good friend and we've had our ups and downs, but mainly because it's me doing it. And yeah. I never noticed I'm doing something until someone calls me out on it, which is thank God for friends who do that because I'm so in my own head that I don't realize, oh crap, that was not cool. Yeah. I am so sorry. But they've done a very good job in our friendship going, hey, what you said wasn't cool, or like what you're doing kind of makes me feel X, Y, Z. And I get very defensive because I've had friendships in the past that no one ever said what was bothering them, or maybe it was just me, but like no one said what was bothering them. And they just end it. So I always assume that whenever they approach me, it's like, oh my God, you're breaking up with me. Like, please, like, I love you too much. And so definitely talk it out. It's going to be scary. And it hurts more to keep it in than does like actually go, hey, that wasn't cool. Like, I know you don't mean any malicious intent, but it kind of made me feel a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
And just do it with love and try your best and not like wag your finger at them. Like, you treat me. No, it's just, we're all caught up in our own stuff. We forget that.
I think the hardest part with that is getting the ball rolling. Like saying,
it's hard.
I have feelings that I need to talk to you about them.
I have so many of them right now and they're all coming. It's so hard.
It's intimidating. And I, even if I know the other person is going to be receptive and hear me, they're not going to shut it down. It's still
scary.
It's very vulnerable.
Cause you don't want to like make them assume something awful. But the thing is, we're all scared of each other.
It's also really embarrassing sometimes to admit what hurts your feelings. Cause they could have said something out of playfulness or not realize that that's like a boundary that you have.
Yeah. And
sometimes the things that hurt my feelings are very, for lack of a better word, like it's kind of immature. Like, come on, Sarah, really that hurt your feelings? But sometimes it does. Sometimes and it's embarrassing to admit that like you did that thing and it actually did hurt my feelings.
Like, I'm sorry. Usually it's okay. But like today it just doesn't feel okay. Yeah.
And I'm not superwoman, you know?
No. Yeah. So. I cry a lot. Thanks.
It's good to cry. I feel like it's healthy to cry. I feel like as long as you get it out, it's when I bottle things up that I explode.
And I don't like when I explode because it's always at the wrong person at the wrong time. And you're like, that had nothing to do with you. It's just, I've reached the tip and like you looking at me made me go like, it's cry it out.
So I guess the advice would be try to explain how you're feeling to your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have to start with, I need to talk to you about the way I'm feeling. Because if it's like, I need to talk to you about something you did, that might be kind of like...
It's very accusatory and you're like...
Rough way to start.
Yeah, it's like, oh, don't do that. But if you kind of come at it very soft, like, hey, we all know I have a lot of feelings and right now I'm feeling so many of them and I won't let you know it's not you, it's probably me or maybe it's both.
We need to talk it out.
Like, throw some jokes in there because that's how I kind of do things. I like joke about like how sensitive I am. Like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so soft, but also... Yeah. We love that about me. I'm so soft.
One of my favorite bits when I go to the dentist, the hygienist will always ask, are you sensitive? And I always say like emotionally.
Because
that always gets a laugh.
Because it's true. It's like I'm very soft and sensitive and I feel all the things all the time, always. But yeah, definitely just like lean into it and be sensitive to yourself and general yourself and general with them because they probably have a thing they're going through they don't know that you don't know about. So it's just a lot of being gentle.
Yeah. And I would say on the other side of that too, if someone approaches you about something you did, try to just like listen to all of it and
understand that it's like, don't come at it like, you know, well, I'm sorry I made you. It's like, no, whoa, I did that. And I'm so sorry at this, way I did this. And I didn't mean it that way. And I'm so sorry that I made you feel this way. And never like that's just how you feel. It's like, don't shut someone down. Like,
that's a pet peeve.
It's like, why would you do that? It's like, that's just how you, I didn't make you feel anything. It's like, but don't semantics. Like, yeah. Come
don't
on.
Poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. Leave the bear alone.
Leave the bear alone.
Okay, so that's great advice.
I try. I
appreciate it.
Thank you.
So what else do we have going on this year? So we're doing our thesis. I am still so impressed. Thesis. That sounds like so official.
It sounds so
like,
official and scary because it kind of is. But I one thing that great Paul told me was because I'm filled with anxiety all the time.
Who isn't? But like for real, who isn't?
So can I live your life? That must be so great to wake up every day and going, everything's fine. It's everything's like, is it though?
Isn't that, you're making all these little cute faces and no one's going to see them.
That's okay. He told me that it was like this time last year. No one expects you to make the best work ever your first year of grad school, let alone your first semester of grad school. And so carrying that over to that, I was like, no one expects us to make our masterpiece, you know, our thesis year, because it's just, for lack of better words, it's just grad school.
Yeah.
And but also there's this weird pressure of like, grad school is usually when people get discovered and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's a dream of mine. But I also try to remind myself, hey, your favorite photographers were like, no one cared until their mid-30s. So you have at least a solid like 7-8 years before people really. Yeah.
It's also a dangerous game to compare your timeline to anyone else's.
It's such a very awful game because you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. And I have to remind myself, hey, kid, yeah, it looks like they all got overnight, but you don't know what happened, you know. Right. Behind closed doors.
There's that saying that's like a lot of overnight successes took a lot of nights.
A lot of nights, like so many of them. So it's that whole thing of like, don't play the comparison game and like, don't let it. And thesis is just like a nice fancy way of saying your last song.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a last project because I think last semester I was having just crazy panic attacks of like, because my work isn't like a, I don't just have one project and I'm done with it and I go off of something else. It's
right.
Continuous. And like, I had a great insecurity about the fact that I don't just have multiple things going on. It's like, oh, it's a long-term thing. And it ends when like there's nothing else there.
Yeah.
And so I was just instructed that, hey, if that's the case and have this be like a chapter one and a chapter two, like don't call like a final.
Right.
Whatever. And that definitely eased up a lot of tension because it's like, okay, it's not my final show. It's just my final show at CalArts.
Right.
At CalArts.
And honestly, what you've described sounds like a project mm-hmm. that you will be on, or a journey, I guess, you'll be on your entire life. Like,
oh, yeah.
You will add to this collection
of
that
photographs.
Maybe one day will be a book.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. So actually, that's my that's what I want to do is make a book for my final project, which because we have our post-grad show in, I think, August. Mm-hmm. I think. So I want to present a book for that. So that's...
I love that.
My, like, long-term goal. But, yeah, so I got thesis. And after that, question mark, because I don't know what post-grad life looks like because it's all in the air.
I mean, I'm not... I haven't been in college in 10 years, and I feel that same way. So.
And I like that. I'm learning to love it because I'm the queen of, like, I know what I'm doing here, but this is the first time...
And there goes the siren. The firehouse is just right around the corner.
Oh, that's lovely. But also, oh my gosh, you must be awake most nights.
I don't hear it anymore. I sleep with
a white noise.
Like rain sounds.
Oh, I love that.
Relax.
You
will
love the Northwest because
right?
That's what I miss the most about the Northwest is the fact that I fell asleep to just raindrops and like music, yeah. Like maybe Maroon 5 playing stuff.
Hey.
But no, it's that. You'll love it in the Northwest. But cool. Yeah.
Life is always going to be, I'm not sure what's going to happen. So I've tried really hard to focus on, like, being in moments, having intent when I do something. Intention is very important to, like,
yep.
With, like, looking at myself with intention and what I'm doing and how I'm spending my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think taking somewhat of a break from, like, work. And it's like, well, what do I actually want to be doing with my time? Like, what do I want to put my intention into where I will feel good about it and all that sort of stuff? And I would think with what you're working on, you're actually putting that into practice because you're taking photos of moments and you were able to recall a lot of the stories about those moments. So you're very good at practicing mindfulness because you remember like the special things about those photos. And so you will eventually have walls filled with all these. It's just
lovely, intense.
There I go, romanticizing everything.
No, it's totally. Because I'm all about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah,
and that's why I think that's what kind of kept me going with a lot of things. Is I love road trips, but I love the actual act of being on the road trip than the actual, oh, we made it to where we needed to go. Because as a kid, I always, we couldn't drive. So, of course, we had to have fun in the car and stuff.
Yeah.
But I always loved, you know, the long drives. And then more than I loved the actual, oh, we made it to the city or the beach or whatever. And so as an adult, it's like, okay, yeah, you want to do this great big thing, but like be very mindful of the fact that it's always a journey that kind of helps you grow into whatever you want to be into, because you get to the final place and not be ready because you're so focused on like, I got it. How about you just take your time?
Exactly.
And that's why I laugh at my coming out story, because I've always known, but of course, like the person I am, I took the long way home, because I always take the long way home. So it's like you took the long way to find yourself, to collect these stories and, you know, these little memories and stuff to kind of like make the lovely jokes about them, but also become the person you are. So,
I want to see your, is anyone allowed to see your?
Yes,
your
it's open to literally everyone, but also Santa Clarita is far, so I'm not mad at anyone who can't make it up. Yeah, it's definitely not a thing where I'm like, friends, you must go. We're not friends anymore. It's no, Santa Clarita is far from anyone who's not in the valley. In the valley, but there will be documentation.
Perfect.
That'll be on the internet. I might do a video, but definitely it's one of those things that the key component is it'll be scented. So I'll have air fresheners.
I'm
person.
A big smell person. Huge. Big into smells.
It's my big thing. That's the only thing missing from it is you miss in real life, but it's totally okay.
That's so cool.
Totally fine.
Courtney, you're so cool.
I try. You're cool.
You're the coolest and so sweet and nice.
Thank you.
You're just, what's your Courtney Flakes or what's your?
Kearney Flakes.
Kearney Flakes. Oh, baby girl. Moon. Okay. so people can see your photography.
Kearney Flakes is my Insta and Twitter. But don't go to Insta for any kind of real work because it's half real life and half just it's hilarious to me because people like ask for my Insta to see my portfolio. It's like, I have a website for that one, but you want to see me being a total butthead on the internet, like
both are cute.
Socials.
Both are so what's your website? Where's like your portfolio?
CourtneyColes.com.
There we go. Nice.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime you want to come back on, you can see how, you know, official this is here.
It's a lovely official space.
It's a great space.
It's nice and warm and lovely.
Yeah.
Great light.
Yeah.
Cute pup.
A lot of Legos.
A lot of Legos.
You want to build some Legos? I have had that X-Wing set for 2 years and I can't bring myself to build it because I don't want to not have a Lego set to build. I think that's really strange.
Like that with puzzles. I have puzzles and I have crossword things. I want to do it, but I don't want to not have a thing to do in case it's like a rainy day and I can't go out.
Do you craft?
I should probably get into crafting, but I don't.
I fell in love with making shrinky dinks.
What the heck?
It's like this plastic you draw on and then you put it in the oven and it shrinks. And I make them into magnets. I'll show you. There's a bunch of them on my fridge. It's become like a
thing you do.
It's just like, you can jump, I can make one and be done. It's just like a fun to have like a little craft project or something that's just kind of like soothing, put music on and like draw. I can't draw very well, so I trace.
I just draw like hearts and like stars and like.
But you'll see, it's triangles. Hearts. I have hearts and stars. You'll see. You'll
yes, we're the same person.
Yes. Okay, so moral of the story, have crafts and puzzles around. Follow your heart with your photography, and Courtney's great.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yay, talk soon.